Morning. Good to see each one today. Appreciate Sister Deborah's testimony.
Amen.
Pray to God to bless her. She was mentioning she hadn't been here or been in service for a few weeks, and as saints, we know that feeling. I was thinking as the messenger brought the other week, Paul mentioned one time, I know how to be full, and I know how to be hungry. And when we're not able to be in the services of God for whatever reason, I believe saints should get hungry. That's why it's disturbing sometimes when we don't see people for a long period of time. You don't see somebody come to the dinner table for a long period of time, there's a problem. They're not hungry, and there's a sickness there. So we thank God for His goodness to us, and pray that Sister Deborah be blessed in her time here. And as it had been mentioned a little bit, about Memorial Day weekend, and we do thank the Lord for the freedom that we have. And it is, we ask the Lord to help us. And as Sister Ann mentioned in the song, it's only by God's grace that we're going to have any benefit. Because as she mentioned, the things of our country. So we're thankful. And I believe God to help us and bless us. The Bible still says to pray for the leaders of our land that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. I believe God can help us as saints, even though the world can still be in a catastrophic situation, that God can give us blessings. But also, as I thought about Memorial Day weekend, and some little bit time back, Sister Melanie asked me, or indicated that she wanted to be baptized, and talked to her, and some other ones desired that also. And thought about a weekend to do it, and I thought this would be a good weekend.
Amen.
That you'll always remember. A memorial. This is a memorial for you.
Yeah.
A time that consecrated your life to God, to show the world out there you stepped away from the things of sin, and so we trust that that would be a memory to you also. So if you would, let's open up our Bibles at Acts chapter 2. We're just going to have a few thoughts here this morning before we take part in our baptismal. But we'll have a word of prayer before we read. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You again for another day that You've given to us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we're thankful for the strength that we're able to be in the house of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful, as we've already mentioned, for the desire that we have to be here, dear Lord.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, there's many attractions that the world holds, dear Lord, for people. But dear Heavenly Father, there's a burden in a heart, dear Lord, to be able to be around the saints, to have fellowship, to sing the songs of Zion,
Amen.
Especially to hear the word of God, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Heavenly Father, to feel the very presence of God and the Spirit of God to deal with our hearts, our souls, and our mind. Dear Heavenly Father, it can be 10,000 people in an audience, dear Lord, but dear Heavenly Father, You can speak to us individually, dear Lord, and that's such a blessing. And dear Lord, it can be just one, all of us by ourselves in a time of prayer, a time of study. And dear Lord, You can speak to our minds, and we're so thankful for that communion we can have with You, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we're thankful to be in the service this morning. You see the service that we have planned here today, and dear Lord, we ask You to bless each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father. Encourage us in a real special way, and help those that are taking part in baptism this morning, dear Lord, that You just help them, dear Lord, that it'll be a blessing to their heart and soul as they follow in the footsteps of God and in the presence of the Word of God, dear Heavenly Father, and obedience in that also, dear Lord. So we ask You to be with us this morning. Help us as we look into the Word a little bit here, that You just bless each and every one of us, and we'll certainly thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking as I was singing that song, what a day that will be. And my mind, as I was singing it, my mind came to the part of this year, or this time of the year, of graduation.
Yeah.
Y'all remember when you graduated high school? Maybe college? Remember walking across that stage? That, you know, nowadays I've seen some pictures of the little ones, you know, and kindergarten or first grader doing a little grad, but there's nothing like that graduation day.
Amen.
It's a special day. You've waited a long time. You've applied yourself. And my mind got to thinking, one day there's graduation day for the saints. One day there will be a promotion day that we'll receive, and by the grace of God, I want to be able to have that. In Acts chapter 2 here, we look at this period of time. We know that Jesus had died. Jesus had resurrected, And Jesus had ascended back to heaven, and Jesus gave the disciples a command to go to Jerusalem and to wait until they heard from them. And we understand there was about 120 there in an upper room, and they waited for about 10 days. And the Spirit of God filled that room, and they become baptized with the Holy Spirit. They become sanctified. And we see here that in Pentecost, that we look at as the church, the very beginning time of the church, the New Testament church. This was the very first day. And as they were filled with the Spirit of God and they came out of that room, they started to move around that out of that room, out of that place. And they started to go through the cities and to preach, and they were filled with the Spirit. And Peter was one that was very bold to begin with, but now being saved and sanctified and filled with the Spirit, he had a complete understanding, I believe, of some things. He started to preach. And he started to preach to the men there at Jerusalem. And he started to begin to tell them some things. And I believe that even still today, this was over 2,000 years ago, but I believe even still today, through the preaching and anointing of the Word of God, people can still get saved. I believe there's still power in the Word of God to save souls. The sister mentioned that she didn't even hear a song or necessarily a testimony or a message, and maybe other ones the same way. We may not have heard anything but the Spirit of God to talk to us. But through the preaching, through the testimonies, through the Word of God, there's power to still be able to save people from sin. And Peter started to preach some things. We're going to jump down to verse 37 here. And as he started to preach, and it said, the men of the city said, now when they heard this, they heard the message of Peter, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and then the brethren, what shall we do? We see that word pricked, and we talked about when Paul was on the road to Damascus at the time of Saul, and Jesus spoke to him, and he told him, he said, Saul, it's difficult for you to kick against the pricks. And that title, that thought here, we know some information back in that time, but we all feel that condemnation, that part of conviction, that's that prick, that's that something that touches our hearts to where we have a desire for the things of God, the beginning desire, that condemnation that comes to us that brings us under conviction. And that's what these men were saying. And I've often read this verse of Scripture, and I said, Lord, give us some people that said that same question, what shall we do? What shall I do? What do I need to do? And Peter was very straightforward. He didn't beat around the bush in verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Amen. And be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As I mentioned, we're here today to take part in water baptism. We have several candidates and desire into that. We see that Jesus also taught and also participated in water baptism. Jesus came to John one time. You can see that in the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go over there and read that. Jesus came to John at the very beginning of his preaching, at the very beginning of his ministry there, and he came to John to be baptized. And John told Peter, Jesus told John, he goes, I don't need to baptize you. John told Jesus, I don't need to baptize you, but I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus told John at that time, he goes, suffer it to be so right now. I need you to go ahead and baptize me. And as John baptized Jesus, the Bible says that he came straightway up out of the water, and the Spirit of God descended down from him and made John aware that he was truly the Son of God. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was perfect. He had never sinned. He had never had to say, I'm sorry. He had never had to repent. But he did it to signify his teaching there, as John was supporting there. He did it as a representation for us too, as an example. When we think about baptism does not, and I want to emphasize this strongly because it is a teaching among our land today, baptism does not save you. Amen. There is no saving in baptism. That has nothing to do with it. Baptism is a signification of death. Baptizing signifies you are dead. You have died to something. When we bury someone in this world, they are gone. They are dead to this world. They signify a burial. There is no more exist in this world. When we baptize, we signify that we've died to something, and that something is to sin. When you and I have buried people, we've gone to a funeral, we've closed the casket, we put them into a ground, they no longer are here in this earth. Some people say, well, I see my grandfather sitting on the sofa. No, you didn't. I'm going to say this, and I'm not asking you. If you do, it's up to you. There's no such thing as ghosts, because the Bible says as the body dies, the spirit returns unto God, and God does that. God takes care of that. So that when we die physically. We're done with the things of this world. When we get baptized, we die to sin.
Amen.
That's what it signifies. We die to sin. We tell our friends, our family, our loved ones, our spouses, our children, our parents, whoever, we are done with sin. We're not going back to sin anymore. We're finished with that. We die. It signifies a death. It signifies a burial. But thank God, we don't stay there. Jesus was put in the tomb, and Jesus came out of the tomb. When we baptize you, we submerge you completely in water, but we bring you back up for a different life.
Yes.
Not to go back into the life you live. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Buried with him in baptism.
Yes.
We died. And thank God we're risen with him through faith. We're buried with Christ. As I mentioned, as we die, we cease to exist in this world. And when we're baptized, we cease to exist or cease to follow after sin anymore. And you're risen to live for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As Jesus died and was buried, and we see that in 3 days, he came back from the grave. As I mentioned, as we are baptized, it's symbolic that we die. But it also is symbolic that in a sense that we died to this sin, but we're raised back to live with Jesus Christ, as verse 12 says here. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read the first 10 verses, so follow with me here. There's a lot of thoughts here. We're not going to try to go over all of them at all, but you pick some of them out that will be a blessing to you. Romans 6 and 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? You know, some people think they need to, just because they're saved, they still got to live in sin. I thank God he gives us power to live above sin.
Amen.
He gives us power to live free from sin. And Paul says here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, the grace of God may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When we get baptized, we indicate I'm dead to sin. That's the testimony that we have. That's why we get baptized. I'm dead to the old things of the world. I'm dead to sin. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Anybody get that? Verse 7. He that is dead, not talking about the physical death, talking about a spiritual death, dead to the things of this world. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over us. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived, he liveth unto God. Verse 6, we just want to look at a little bit. He says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. Have you crucified the old man? Have you crucified your desires, your wants, your ways? Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. As the sister testified, not easy being a Christian. Read to you, I think, last week, was it Peter, I believe it was saying? He says that we shouldn't suffer certain things as a murderer and a thief and these things, the evildoer. He says, but if there's going to be suffering, there's going to be suffering of Christ. There is some suffering. There is some denial. There is some battles that we have to face as saints. And I also like what she said also, as we were young, as we got saved at a young age, there was a lot of things you just didn't know. You had to learn. You stumbled sometimes. You had to make mistakes. You had to come back. But thank God, as you get into it and you stay in it, you learn some things, and the grace of God helps you through these things.
Thank the Lord.
You learn some things.
Yes.
And as he goes through these, as this verse there, he says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed. There comes to a place, thank God, that the temptations and the battles aren't like they were at one time, because we've learned some things.
Yes, true.
And our desire is, I want to serve Christ. And I may have made a mistake, I may have stumbled, I may have fallen, but I get up, and thank God, just as Jesus Christ, I love the story with Peter. As Peter denied Christ, Peter was a strong influence. And Peter cursed and swore and said, I don't know the man. When Jesus was being crucified. And he ran out and he wept bitterly. And when Jesus rose back the second time, when he came out of the grave, and he told the disciples, he said, go tell my disciples and tell Peter. Peter had repented and Peter came back. He had to learn some things. Jesus even told him before that happened. He goes, Peter, when you repent and encourage your brothers. He said, Peter, I know you're going to stumble. I know you're going to fall. He already told him that. Peter didn't believe him. But he said, I know it, but he was encouraging. And many a time, Jesus had to help me. He said, come on, let's get up. Let's keep going. But what happens, too many people get fallen down. Even they may sin. They may do something that's not right. And they stay there. Jesus says, come on. Let me help you up. For repent from that, and let's continue to go. And as time goes on, and if we have that desire, I want to live for God. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be a Christian. God will give us the grace to go through those battles.
Yeah,
that the body of sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What does baptism signify? Baptism signifies to your family, your friends, to the world, when you tell somebody you've been baptized. Sadly, most people have no idea what baptism is. Because people baptize children. They think that's just something they should do. People baptize babies. They just think that's something that's just a process. Very few people know what baptism means. Baptism, what it signifies, I've stopped sinning. I'm dead to sin. I've walked away from that. Now, even through baptism, being saved and through sanctified, that doesn't put us on a pinnacle of perfection. We still have to learn.
Yeah.
We still have to grow. We still may make some mistakes. We still may have to come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. We may have to say sorry to someone. That doesn't never let anybody tell you when you get saved and sanctified and you've been baptized, you're on a plane that's unfailing. It is not true. That's a lie from the devil. That's what that's about. But if we have a desire, we should not serve sin. My desire is to be pleasing to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we have that desire, he's going to give us the grace to make it. He's going to give us the grace to go through. When I'm baptized, we stop the sin business. We die to the fashions of this world, to the likeness of this world, to the cultures of this world, what they display, what they follow after, what they track after. We die to that. And saints, we need to be careful. There's just so many, and just, I don't know if there's anybody, nobody outside of the children back here. And our lives, we have seen so many changes in the last 20 years that 20 or, I guess 20, I could say 20, maybe 30, I don't know. We probably didn't have cell phones like we do today. 25 years ago, maybe? Never had an idea that cell phones would be as they are today. We were talking to some friends, the first flip phone you had. That's all it did. It opened, made a phone call, and shut. It made a phone call. They do everything. And people are attached to that thing. And as saints, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we're not attached to the things of the world like that. That we can separate ourselves from all the fashions and likeness of the world. That it can be too overwhelming to us. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 4:22, putting off concerning the former conversation of the old man. When we get baptized, I know really I can go back to a step before that. When we get saved, we put on Christ. It doesn't necessarily happen in baptism. That's a symbolic representation to the world. I put on Christ. A lot of people may not know necessarily, may not have seen you come to an altar, repent, and get saved. You may have gotten saved in your bedroom. You may have gotten saved anywhere. And you can come in and say, I've been saved or whatever. But when we do that as a signification through baptism, we tell the world there that I've ceased some things. I've left some things. And he says here in verse 27, he says, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And Paul says a little bit differently, terminology there in Ephesians 4:22, putting off concerning the former conversation of the old man. We put on Christ. We don't use language that maybe you used to use. You don't use foul language. You don't use curse words. You don't talk derogatory and things like that. That I once was. I used to handle all these dirty jokes and foul things and those. We leave those things. We put some things off and we put on Christ to be like Christ. Give us the power to live free from sin. Give us the power to live for Jesus Christ. Put off the old man and obeying the things of God. So this morning we have three saints that desire to be baptized this morning.
Hallelujah.
Sister Melanie and Brother Mark and Sister Darlene. So we want to pray that God will bless them. And here's